Louder Than Cain from Journey, and you're listening to Pastor Ed Boston on the Pastor Ed Boston Podcast.
Hi, friends. On this week's podcast of the Boston Prayer and Share, current events for the week ending January 1st, 2022, Amy and I share about the huge correction the CDC made about Omicron numbers after they caused a huge disruption in Christmas travel. We also discuss how the government is using COVID as a way to control our lives. We love President Trump, but our wish for 2024 is for Governor Ron DeSantis to be the Republican nominee. Fathers need to step up and be men, and we share a good story on this topic. Just call the man. Do you know what that means? Yes, it's an Andy Griffith response, but it also goes along with one of the stories we've got. Students and parents sue school system in Virginia for teaching CRT. These topics come from the share portion of the Boston Prayer and Share Hour that we do live on Thursday nights on the Ed Boston Ministries Facebook page. Normally, I would have Amy with me doing this introduction, but she was called in to work, and things don't always go the way we plan. So enjoy the podcast. She's with me there, and we'll talk to you at the end.
CDC, you know, that wonderful agency that you and I pay for, significantly reduces estimate of Omicron prevalence in the U.S. When we last were together, the CDC was going crazy about Omicron. Flights were being canceled. Places were closed. All kind of things were happening because Omicron was now in the building. Now, mind you, that it was just a few weeks ago that Omicron wasn't even in the United States yet. It made its appearance. And let me remind you, because I was reading about this today, that the Delta variant is still in play. And I suppose just regular old coronavirus is still in play.
Yeah, what was that one called?
I don't know.
We'll look up something for it.
So right before Christmas, it was all pandemonium. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flights canceled. Everybody. Well, Fauci said that if your relatives haven't been vaccinated, you shouldn't let them in your house and all kind of things. .2% was the figure that they put on Omicron. Cron, I'm probably mispronouncing that totally. All new cases, of all new cases, 73.2% was the new variant, Omicron. That's pretty hot. So now that Christmas is over, now that people's lives were turned upside down and chaos ensued, they decided that they would do a recount. You know, I guess the first
they were begging to do that for the elections.
I guess they start out with an estimate, and then they, after the time period is over, they go back and hit the actual. Remember, 73.2, the actual number was 22.5. They missed it by over 50 percentage points. Now, why do I say that this isn't about COVID? I say it's all about control. We've said since the very beginning, COVID is real. We've had COVID. We've had family members die with COVID. If you believe the numbers, and we know that there are a lot of people with COVID right now. Hospitals are reporting. I read today that barely 10% of the ICU beds are available right now. But we're supposed to trust the CDC, who missed an estimate that just happened to be at a time where they exerted control over something by 50%. You can't make me believe that they have any clue. Well, I don't know. Maybe they have a clue. Maybe they don't want us to know what kind of a clue they have. Because maybe the clue that they have has to do with running our lives. Or in some cases, ruining our lives. Now, there is another story to go along with this. And actually, this one makes me mad. Maryland doctor says people are going to die after Biden administration uses faulty data to snub antibody treatments. Dr. Ron Elfenbein called the pause in some antibody treatments the height of bureaucratic arrogance. We've got politicians making decisions on medical issues. A doctor in Maryland said he had to cancel potentially life-saving monoclonal antibody infusions for about 250 people over the last week after the federal government stopped distributing treatments made by Regeneron and Eli Lilly because they aren't effective against Omicron, even though the Delta variant, which the drugs are effective at treating, was still dominant at the time. So you see where we're going here. You follow me on this? Omicron is here, and they say that Regeneron and Lilly's product isn't effective, so they just stop using it altogether. While you remember the CDC and the 72.8 and 22.5 and all. You see where I'm coming from? The data sucks, and decisions are being made to stop using treatments that are effective. You know, it's almost like they don't want the things that can help people that get the virus. It's like we are, remember when records go around and they would be stuck, go around, skip back, skip back, skip back. That's like what they're doing. They want us stuck with the vaccine being the only thing out there that is going to give anybody any hope. All right. Sometimes I just get into the mode of people have been, all the way back, did die for this. And I think the government thinks it's all a joke. You might say, well, I don't think they think it's a joke. Well, I really don't think they think it's a joke. But what else can you think? I mean, I can go down the list, and this isn't about whether you're for the vaccine or not the vaccine. But you got the vaccine, and it's the cure all for everything. And then, well, some people it doesn't work. And some people, they don't get as bad of symptoms. And then, well, you can, oh, don't forget, you can have the vaccine and you can carry it to other people. Oh, wait a second. You can have the vaccine, carry it to other people, and you can die. Oh, but and you need a booster shot, like Amy said earlier, how many shots? And now the things that have been working for the Delta variant now doesn't work for Omicron. And we're supposed to just be sheep and line up and say, well, they've got our best interest at heart. I'm sorry, folks. I don't believe that we're their number one priority. I'm not saying they want us to all die. I'm not even saying that they want the numbers of dead people to go up. But I think COVID is way more than a virus. A virus that causes the flu to take the year off. Hey, flu, take the year off. I got this one. See what I'm saying? It's not a joke, but it's a joke.
Well, how did it just start out as one virus? And now it's like it's got a brother. And now that brother's got a brother. I mean, how many times is it going to multiply?
Well, I wish we could trust the people that were giving us information to be able to, if they were to tell us, we could expect a different version every year or even every six. The flu is different every year.
Right. But when they give us that shot, they're not giving it the shot for this year's strain of flu. They're giving us last year's strain of flu and hoping it's going to affect somewhat this year's strain. It's a guess.
And sometimes it works very well. And there are other times that it practically is a waste of time and energy and money and everything that's put in.
Absolutely.
But we can't trust the government to even tell us that.
Absolutely.
It comes up as a new major crisis. And seems to be just the right time or just the wrong time, however you look at it.
Well, right before Christmas was the right time.
Let's read a quote from the doctor who is upset about them taking. I don't know how many people throughout the country are dead, dying in the hospital, or about to be hospitalized because of the mistakes that they just made. It is just the height of bureaucratic arrogance, and it's horrible. I had to turn friends away, family. People call me, oh, my uncle has cancer. Can he get an infusion? I'm like, I cannot give you an infusion because I will lose my medical license. See what? Why can't we trust our government? Why? I don't get it. Why we can't trust our government? We can't even get them to tell us the truth about sending money to a lab in China where they think this thing started. I mean, they've got the money trail, the paper trail. They know that the CDC gave money to the Wuhan lab in China. And so we're supposed to trust those same people with what we've got going on? I mean, we've lost loved ones to this. And this isn't about the vaccine. It's about controlling our lives and controlling our lives with information that just plain sucks. Am I right?
Absolutely.
The information that they use, I just read you three different instances on the information. Let's see, got some comments over here. Cindy Clay is on here, said, until they instill fear in the whole world. And That's the thing.
She said they don't put up with that in Florida.
Thank you, Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, that's why I said I love DeSantis.
Will you please run for president in 2024?
Absolutely. Please.
And people might be scratching their heads and saying, I bought you as a Trump guy. Love Donald Trump. He did wonderful things. I think his time has passed. And we need to get somebody that can affect things while at the same time not being so overbearing that people hate them so bad that they vote against the person and not for the other person. See, we have Joe Biden right now as our president because Donald Trump was such a divisive figure and people hated his guts so much that they voted against him.
Right.
That's why we have Joe Biden today. You can't make me believe that Joe Biden would get the most votes in the history of the United States of America.
That can't even decide when to wipe his own butt.
In a pandemic?
I mean, goodness.
So
he can't form a sentence.
Well, he's a joke to the whole world.
Absolutely.
And I say that embarrassingly. Not because I want to make fun of him. I'm embarrassed that that's what is representing us
right
in the world today.
His own people laugh about him.
Well, his own people have to make rules.
Right.
Like, you can't ask any questions. Oh, and Joe, only take questions from this reporter, and this reporter, because we know they'll throw softballs and they'll lob them in there for you. So, from back where I said, please, Ron DeSantis, run for president.
Happily 24.
And Donald Trump, if you listen to this, I would be on your hate list. I'm sure, because you don't rarely act in a way that anybody can have a difference with you. So I'm sure I would be on the Trump hate list. But please don't run. Please put all your influence and money and support behind somebody that will beat Joe Biden.
Absolutely.
And if people say, well, give Trump another chance, he'll beat Joe Biden. He didn't beat him last time.
Absolutely not.
And we don't even know if it's going to be Joe Biden that runs. It might be Hillary Clinton.
Well, she's been president already.
There's a lot of things she's been doing lately, she's been dogged on the far left, you know, because she knows the closer to the center that they can act like they are. They aren't, but they act like they are, then the better chance the Democrats have it. And they're going to get their tails kicked so bad in the 2022 elections. They're going to lose the House so bad that, well, it may be historic on how bad they lose the House.
Well, Cindy said it's just embarrassing to even listen to him speak publicly, and she's exactly right. It is embarrassing to hear Sleepy Joe talk.
And again, we can make jokes about it, we can make fun, but that is who is representing us in the world.
Right.
You know, Putin has to sit back. I think they had some kind of security phone call in the last few days. He has to sit back and just rub his hands like, boy.
Well, he chuckles all the time just because of the stupid things he says. You know he does.
And see, then you've got the Irans of the world and the North Koreas of the world. That the only thing they understand is power, force, domination. That's how you keep those countries at bay, is by showing that you're not afraid. He's talking about putting us back in the Iran nuclear deal. And again, those kind of things that Trump got us out of, I don't want people to think that I'm dogging Trump in any measure. You'll be surprised to hear me say this. I appreciate the fact that Trump supports the vaccine. Because that's the kind of working together our country needs. Whether I like the vaccine, get the vaccine, whatever, I appreciate the fact that he would make it not an us versus them, but that he believes in something that most people that don't want the vaccine are strict conservatives, most.
Right.
Not all. So don't think I'm dogging Trump, but he did what he had to do.
At the time.
Absolutely at the right time. But I forget how old he'll be in 2024, his upper 70s.
Yep.
And
he'll be way too old.
I've told you guys this before. That's one of the first reasons I was against Biden. I mean, there's like 800 more after that, but I just don't think somebody that's in their upper 70s and early 80s need to be the most powerful person in the world.
You don't need to be the most powerful person in the world and wear defense.
So there is that. Let me get to some other stories. This is a good one.
We need a good
one. This is a good one. Rooftop revelations, breaking the cycle of fatherlessness. This pastor, and this is a good story, comes out of Chicago, and I'm pretty sure as we get into this, it's set in the south side of Chicago. One of the toughest challenges for Pastor Corey Brooks deals with on the south side of Chicago is fatherlessness. For better or worse, the pastor has become a father figure to many youths in the neighborhood, where approximately 80% of the homes do not have a father. He teaches them how to look someone in the eye and give a firm handshake. He makes them sweep the floors and wash the windows before he hands them a dollar to teach them the value of earning. He meets with wayward kids and often spends hours counseling them back onto the straight path. The work exhausts him and sometimes comes at the expense of his own family, yet he never stops fathering. There are those Americans who look at the pastor and the kids surrounding him and dismiss it as a black problem. They lecture him that the culture needs to change and that it begins in the home. The pastor never disagrees, for he bears direct witness to these social ills. But what he disagrees with is that it's just a black problem. Fatherlessness affects all Americans and continues to worsen with each passing year. Listen to some of these numbers, staggering numbers. According to the Census Bureau, approximately 89% of the post-war generation, and that would be post-World War II, grew up with a mother and father who were married to each other. That number has fallen today to approximately 68%, or down about 30%. The Department of Education reports that 39% of all American students enrolled in grades 1 through 12 live in homes absent their biological fathers. These thoughts were on the mind of Brooks on the 40th day of his 100-day rooftop vigil to raise money to build his project HOOD. Community Center. I'm not sure if it tells in here what the letters stand for. He was joined by George O'Neill, a businessman who flew in from sunny Central Florida to spend a freezing night on the roof. George, why are you so passionate about being here on the south side of Chicago? The pastor asks. You could be anywhere. O'Neill smiled in response. I'm here to help you because you are one of the few voices that I've heard that is brave enough to stand up and state the importance of family fatherhood for all communities, not just the Black community, and said, it's important that we recognize that our culture and many of the leading institutions have been antagonistic to the family, and we see the results of that. More stats. While the number of fatherless children remains unacceptably high among Blacks nationwide, approximately 56%, the numbers have risen significantly for other races. Approximately 31% of Hispanic children and approximately 21% of white children do not live with their biological fathers. It's a good article. It's up on Fox News. You can go and find it. But fathers, step up. Mothers, put yourself in a position where you're not going to be used and then just left behind. Having babies is serious business. We support pro-life at all costs. But make it be known that if you're not ready for a baby, if you can't handle having a baby, do the right thing and give it up. And men, be a man. Anybody can donate sperm. Any man can donate sperm, unless you got a problem. But it takes way more than a sperm deposit to be a father. Parent, a dad, someone that your child can look up to and say, I'd want to be like my daddy. You see, Amy and I, we could always say that. We can look back and say, we wanted to be just like our dad. Good men, good providers. And that's what every child deserves. And the problem is in the church as well as it is in the secular world. Divorce is way too high. And for those that want to chastise me for saying that, because I've been divorced, I'm just going to stay with what I said. The divorce rates are too high. They just are. Every case is an individual case, but it's like, instead of divorce being the last solution, divorce is the first solution. I read a story today about, well, it's ironic. The lady was on one of those Desperate Housewives of something, Orange County on this one, I think. And she actually is the ex-wife of former St. Louis Cardinal Jim Edmonds. And she got married to Joe Biden's nephew. They made it 2 months. Now, get this. She has 3 kids with Jim Edmonds. So these kids were just getting used to a stepdaddy for 2 months. And see,
2 months doesn't tell you nothing. Nothing.
And I don't think that they had a very long, courtship. Of course, we can't say much about that. Neither did we.
Well, yeah, but we also been married in almost 8 years.
Yeah, we're going on 8 years, not 2 months.
I mean, 2 months didn't tell you whether you put your toothbrush upside down or not. You know, I mean, that it just doesn't tell you anything about that person.
Yeah, you could go to either one of the two and ask certain questions about the other, that you would get a lot of, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Well, Then how do you know your marriage isn't going to last? Unless he's beating on you, she's beating on you, whatever, that's not telling you anything. You know, that's just not. That doesn't tell you a thing.
No, missing my shirt.
Well, big deal.
I like my shirt.
Well, keep going and it's going to be straight in front of your face and you're going to look like you're looking through the forest.
Look.
Right?
Well, we're trying to lighten things up after talking about CDC stuff. So, I love the story that I just read. Rooftop Revelations. 40 days this time of year on a roof on the south side of Chicago. Chicago's
cold. A little chilly, a little windy.
Yeah, it's the windy city.
Yeah.
And cold air blowing in off of Lake Michigan. I've only been to Chicago a handful of times. That's a handful of times too many.
Absolutely is.
But it's just a cold place. Maybe that's why they...
Smelly, dirty, dangerous.
This topic, you know, fatherlessness, is like so many. We just need to look to what the Bible tells us. You know, the Bible was written. It is a wonderful roadmap. It is a guide, but it's not a, if you would like to.
Absolutely.
It's
an instructional manual
that you have to use.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe it's this. Maybe it's because men don't like to follow instructions, written instructions. Well, get over yourself and read the Bible.
Call the man.
Yeah, call the man. Just call the man.
Call the man.
One final story.
Everybody's probably going, what? Call the man.
Andy Griffith Rip. Just call the man.
Just call the man.
Parents, students, and school board in Virginia, and this is not the one that we've talked about over and over and over, for adding critical race theory to curriculum. A group of parents and students in Virginia are suing Albemarle County School Board over its efforts to implement critical race theory into the curriculum. CRT is a controversial ideology rooted in Marxism. It teaches racism exists everywhere and that whites will always be racist. And that's what they want to dash in our schools. And I say our schools because I don't know about you, but my tax money goes to the school system. So that means they're our schools. And you've got this problem of many on the far left say that parents should have no say in what the kids are being taught. You got to be a special kind of stupid to believe that.
Absolutely.
I mean, really, you got to be going down the stupid highway. American Alliance Defending Freedom, or the ADF, which represents the 9 parents and their children, says the program will indoctrinate children in an ideology that views everyone and everything through the lens of race. You know, everything in life is not about race. It's just not.
It is absolutely not. And I'm tired of everything in life and everybody in life making it that way.
It's CRT basically means division. And why is it that so many topics from especially the far left, but the left in general, are divisive? Why is that? Don't things usually work better when people work together, you know, there's probably people that you work with that you don't care too much about.
You can say that again.
But wouldn't things work better if everybody worked in cooperation with each other?
If everybody was a team player.
Well, look at jobs like what Joe had when he was on the railroad. If they weren't team players, people's lives were in jeopardy.
Well, absolutely. Well, in my job, if there's somebody in danger in one of those pods, you want somebody on your team or you're going to be endangered.
As a team player.
Right. Absolutely.
That has your back.
Absolutely.
That you can depend on. You know, all these things that work with team and not divisiveness.
Absolutely.
You know, when you need somebody to have your back at work, I'm pretty sure that the first thought in your mind is not, are they white or black?
Heavens, who cares?
Who cares? Who has time to worry about it?
I wouldn't care if you're purple with pink polka dots. If you're going to be in there and have my back, that's what matters to me. I don't care what color you are.
Same thing, you know, they say there's no atheists in foxholes.
Right.
The same kind of theory.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter.
So get the critical race theory out of our schools. Quit teaching our kids that it's bad to be white.
They're teaching our kids to be racist against being white. They're teaching our kids that it's bad to be white because they just shouldn't be white because that's not a good thing.
Well, let's take that a step farther. What if we were teaching that it's bad to be Hispanic, or it's bad to be of German descent, or it's bad to be Asian? You know, get black and white out of it. We wouldn't teach that.
Those blonde hair, blue white people, you're not supposed to like those people. So don't like anybody that's got blonde hair, blue eyes. Uh-oh, wait a minute. I'm about as blonde hair, blue white as you can get.
Or what if the main race was all blonde hair?
Absolutely.
See where?
I mean, that thing doesn't even make sense.
Didn't we learn anything? Really, did we not learn anything?
Right.
I'm gonna stand in a world that's breaking sand for a truth unchanging. I'm not ashamed, I've considered the cost. I'll be right here at the foot of the cross and stand.
That'll do it for this episode of the podcast. We look forward to sharing our thoughts on current events, and whether you agree or disagree, let's act like adults and use these principles. God first, country next, and what's good for me following that. Take care and go out and do the right thing.